This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
News story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Kansas State quarterback Avery Johnson's father and brother released joint statement after fight following the Iowa State loss. The father and brother, again, make that clear, because some headlines it read like the father and the father's brother, but it's the father and brother of Kansas State quarterback Avery Johnson, pretty big name in college football. They released a joint statement Sunday after footage of their post-game fight became public in the aftermath of the Wildcats season opening loss to Iowa State, and this was in Dublin, Ireland. If you guys watched any of that game, not a bad game. First reported by 24/7 Sports, yes, Mark Johnson, not the voice of the Buffs, but Mark Johnson, was seen in a video outside of the stadium after the game getting into a tussle with his oldest son, Anthony Johnson. No arrests were made stemming from this incident. So, I mean, is this just, like, I never got in a physical fight with my dad. We would yell at each other, but not a physical fight. I know that there are other dads that get into fights with their kids, and it actually might come down to fisticuffs the older they get. I've seen some comments that are like, hey, that's just two men that are close getting their energy out. It's weird. It's embarrassing. It's a distraction for your kid that's actually playing for K-State. They said, we regret this incident. We've learned from it and are committed to ensuring it doesn't happen again. Please accept our deepest apologies. Senseless bickering is what they put in the release, escalated into an unnecessary fight. We have resolved our differences and take full responsibility for our actions. We've apologized to our immediate and extended family and now extend our apologies to K-State University, its alum, and fans. Someone in the crowd around the pair can be heard saying, Anthony, this is embarrassing as blank. Stop before the two of you are finally separated. Stop before you're arrested. Yeah, weird deal. Kansas State head coach Chris Klieman said, I mean, that's the thing. Regardless of the outcome, we have 11 games to play. We have our back against the wall already. But, yeah, we don't know if we need all these other distractions. Weird. Weird situation, man. And if you're Avery Johnson, like, that's just another thing you have to deal with at a young age. On top of the loss, too. So, Kansas State loses over the weekend. Iowa State was projected to be in the top five. So, is it one of those where it was a close game? Both teams are probably still going to be okay. I would imagine so. Buccaneers are waiving rookie safety Shiloh Sanders, according to his agent. Well, he also had a weird game. He was ejected from Tampa Bay's third preseason game against the Buffalo Bills on Saturday night for throwing a punch. He punched tight end Zach Davidson, who was blocking him. And after a lot of pushing and shoving, it kind of looked like Zach Davidson pushed so hard, like missed him, and then his hand went up in the air. But it wasn't like a punch. And Shiloh Sanders returned with a good old-fashioned obvious punch and got thrown out of the game. Is anybody picking him up now? I mean, you are fighting for your career and your life, and you let your emotions get to the best of you, and you get tossed. Interesting. Also, for the other Sanders, there's Shiloh Sanders, and then there's the other one, Shedeur Sanders. His was interesting. He started the second half Saturday night against the Los Angeles Rams. He was just 3 of 6 for 14 yards. He was sacked 5 times and led the Browns to only one first down in his 5 series under center. Now, there was an opportunity for him to orchestrate a game-winning drive, but it didn't go to Shedeur Sanders. Instead, it went to Tyler Huntley to go orchestrate this, and the Browns found a way. But there's a lot of complaints that why wasn't it Shedeur Sanders to be left in there and given that opportunity if you're not going to have Tyler Huntley as a part of this thing down the stretch, then why is he still there? Why wouldn't you want to see this from Shedeur Sanders? I don't know. I wish I knew the answer to that. I can't imagine that they want Shedeur Sanders on this team, Mike. Why else would you not put him in? I mean, he didn't play. You know, Stefanski clearly wasn't happy with Shadur's play. He did take a 24-yard sack, and that was something that was a knock on Shedeur Sanders. He would. It wasn't just about his offensive line. Maybe he held on to the ball too long. But I'm curious to see how the depth chart works. Cleveland's latest unofficial depth chart lists Pickett as the backup, and then Gabriel, and then Sanders. You're not carrying 4 quarterbacks. That is football malpractice at this point. You're not doing it. Yeah, Big Hub says, my friend thinks, I was talking, this is icing on the cake for them already wanting to release him. I would imagine. Like, Mike, you really want to know if Shadur's got anything? He struggled all game. Let him go wrap up the game-winning drive, right? I don't understand. So Sanders thought he was going to go have the reins for the final drive after Los Angeles scored on a 2-yard touchdown run with 2:08 left. But Stefanski told Sanders he was going with Huntley. It wasn't my decision, Sanders said. Of course, that's every quarterback's dream, and that's what every quarterback thrives for, those moments. So it wasn't me. I was happy that Huntley got in, and he handled his business. If anybody else would do it, it would be him. Sanders faced 4 blitzes, according to NFL Next Gen stats, and was sacked on 3 of those plays. Gabriel, meanwhile, faced only 1 blitz and was not sacked, completing 11 of 17 for 129 yards. Have we ever, Micah, have we ever paid attention to, I know you didn't watch this, I don't know if you watched this game, but have we ever paid attention to the 3rd and 4th string quarterback like this? It is wild to me. One of those stories that just overrides logic. Big Hub says, and there shouldn't be an uproar about Shedeur. He did the same thing he did in college. I hate these fans saying he got a busted O-line. That's how it goes on in preseason. I mean, he got sacked 5 times. Gabriel didn't get sacked that many times. Shedeur was susceptible to getting sacked last year. Whether it was whether his line was playing awful or whatever, yeah, he would hold on to the ball. That was kind of the flaw with him. He might hold on to the ball just a little bit too long. But this is Sanders fans. They're gonna call it unfair. They're gonna call it racist. I already saw a lot of that going on. How is it racist? I can't help but like laugh cry when I see that. You're just trying to keep black men down. I'm like, what? But there are black men that play football and that make a lot of money and are very good at football and sell a lot of jerseys and sign a lot of autographs, and people love them and adore them. But when it comes to Shedeur Sanders, it's like, you're racist. But I like football players, all of them, white, black, or whatever, but I can't I can't be critical of this one. I can be critical of Josh Allen. I can be critical of Patrick Mahomes. I can be critical of Lamar Jackson. But when I'm critical of Shedeur Sanders, it's a race thing. What's
there
up,
are,
Mike?
There are black men, black quarterbacks on that team who we are actually more critical of because in their personal lives they do some really
Deshaun Watson is the actual starting quarterback for this team, and people have been really critical. He's hurt. He's not going to play, but they've been the most there. Okay, Aaron texting in on the Ireland fight. A lot of beers. A lot of people forget beers a lot stronger in Ireland. Yeah, dude, they had to be absolutely smashed. 9-3-1 on the poll question today. UNC Bears for sure on my Lorado Whiskey poll question. Who needs a game one win more? Okay, a week one win more. Going against the D2 schools added pressure. Yeah, Bears need to win. Bears need to win that game. Another text here on the 970. If this fight was in Ireland, is it considered legal as long as the two parties are hammered? Yeah. I don't think nobody's got in trouble from it. I'm just embarrassed.
I mean, as a person with a lot of Irish blood in me, I think it's funny to make fun of the Irish people. The British Isles in general, it's hilarious. They all like alcohol.
Texter here, Go Pokes, is talking about Josh Allen. You hate white dudes. Well, County Swami, there are two huge fan bases that just won't take responsibility for their players' play. Angel Reese and Shedeur Sanders fans will never blame it on the athlete. It's always racism, coach, or somebody else that's out to get them. Yeah, and I don't pay attention much to the Angel Reese crowd because they're not going at me on the X account, but I know Shedeur Sanders fans are definitely anything critical of him. They just like they're like moths to a flame. They're just, oh, you're saying something bad. You're just trying to keep a black man down because you're trying to keep Sanders down. Wait, Coach Prime? Do you mean the most popular, arguably the most popular football player in all of the world? Yeah, that guy. You kept him down for too long. He's like been given, I mean, he's earned rights to be on the media and talk on NFL Network and ESPN and Barstool. He's all over the place. He coaches. He's a great coach. The ticket sales, the jersey sales would say that no one's trying to keep him down. In fact, they're trying to help him out because they love him so much.
Yeah, they're elevating him because they make him money. They don't care what color he is. They want the green.
And jersey sales are up and ticket sales are up. Yeah, but they're trying to keep him down. But everything's sold out. But still, yeah, okay, no.
People
Coach
see
Prime
what they
is popular.
See.
And it's not about keeping him down. People that love Coach Prime love Coach Prime. The ones that are against Coach Prime are kind of like annoyed with the cocky thing. If you watch the Netflix documentary on the Cowboys, and I love this about Coach Prime, but he was talking about it. He's like, I was it. He's like, what's it? It was me. Like that kind of stuff. I like that stuff. But not everybody likes that stuff.
Well, when he says, I was it, that was me, I mean, he could back it up.
Yes.
He was playing three ways. He's one of the very few people on the planet. There are like three people that I can remember who played offense, defense, special teams in the same game. And of the three that I can name off the top of my head, he was the one. He was by far the best. So if he's prime time as a player, I don't criticize him. Prime time as the person, I'm just like, okay, calm down. Like, win a national championship, and then I'll be like, okay, fine, you can badmouth the media.
Yeah. It's not always going to work out. For Coach Prime, I'd say it's worked out. Hall of Fame playing career, pretty good media career. Not a Hall of Fame coaching career yet, but some might say he's on a path to that.
And if he is,
yeah, sure.
All the respect
but
in the world.
But Shiloh got cut, and Shedeur Sanders is either going to get cut or he's going to be at the bottom of the barrel on a bad organization for quarterback play. So you're the worst quarterback on arguably the worst team for quarterbacks. So it's an interesting dilemma. Yeah, Big Hub, what's your thoughts on Micah Parsons and his body language on the sidelines? I'm over Micah Parsons now. I'm starting to get tired of it. He's laying on the trainer's table. He's in his sweatpants. He's not wearing, like, Cowboys attire or anything like that. I'm kind of getting over it. It's starting to annoy me. It's a holdout. I get it, but it's starting to drive me nuts. He doesn't want... You know what? If you're the Cowboys at this point, are you just moving on? You want to win. Jerry Jones wants to win before he can't enjoy the wins. And Micah Parsons is that good of a player that certainly makes you... You have a much better chance of winning a Super Bowl with him than you do without him, but now it's just a bad look. It's getting worse by the day. So I'm kind of annoyed with Micah Parsons at this point. He's ridiculous, but he's like ridiculously talented, but I'm annoyed. 20 minutes after the hour. Mike, let's take a quick break here. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. When we come back, opponent preview, the Broncos, and perfect timing, Big Hub, the Dallas Cowboys. That will be a week 8. We'll be almost at the halfway point. We'll be arriving at the halfway point there for the Denver Broncos. What will they be? Well, I guess it would be less than the halfway point because the stupid 17. I'm still, my math doesn't math as well. I liked it easier when it was 16. My math could do better, but odd numbers and all that stuff. 21 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
More on KFKA programs, podcasts, sports schedule, and news, go to 1310kfka.com.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Do I really have the Broncos at 5-2 at this stage, Mike, in the season? As we're now getting set to take on the Dallas Cowboys, we're doing the season preview, each and every opponent. And I'm not just listing, you know, where, oh, this is a win, that's a loss, this is a win. We've been going through it for the last, a little over a week now. And I'm shocked. I do have Denver at 5-2. The Cincinnati game I had a difficult time with, but I think the Broncos will prevail in that one. That's the one I'm kind of worried about, my pick there. But coming up next, they have the Dallas Cowboys. That will be after they took care of the Jets in London. They take care of the Giants. There's no problem there. Then they're home again against the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys, dude, every year is supposed to be the year that they get it right. Dak Prescott's got his money. CeeDee Lamb's got his money. Now they got George Pickens. They got a lot of dudes to throw to. I don't think their offensive line's any good. I mean they've got they're banged up there too. Their projected starting left tackle's questionable, left guard's questionable right now, but that doesn't mean anything when they play in week 7. But now with Micah Parsons and all that drama, you don't think that that makes its way into the locker room at all? Jerry Jones is out doing the media thing. I mean, you got head coach Brian Schottenheimer is going to call plays in the NFL for the first time since he was fired as the coordinator in Seattle following the 2020 season. How will he do play calling for this team, for this Cowboys team? The pressure's always high in Dallas, no matter what. They think they're going to be a Super Bowl team every single year. Another one, the Cowboys expect an immediate impact from running back Jadon Blue. Is it Jaden Blue or Jadon Blue? I think it's Jaden Blue. Jaden Blue, my bad. I mean, he's pretty damn fast. I just don't know that he's... I don't look at anybody other than Dak Prescott. Dak's an interesting study, too. Like, why is that guy not much better? Tons of guys to throw to, but I think Cowboys are going to be bad this year. Mike, that division's ridiculous. The Eagles and Washington, both those teams, I think, could make a case for maybe going the distance this year. I think Dallas is going to struggle. Maybe by then the Broncos running game really starts to get going. And they're really, I feel like the Broncos running game is going to get going. Even though the preseason wasn't fantastic, I think it's going to be good. Am I really saying the Broncos are going to be 6-2 at this point? Now, you've got them 8-0.
Of course
stage.
I do.
Yeah.
Of course
but,
I
do. But my pick looks a lot more realistic, although 6-2 is pretty damn good. You're talking Super Bowl at that point, aren't you?
Of course. Of course we are. By the way, for those who don't know, if Brady and my prediction comes true, this would be the Broncos beating the Cowboys 8 times in a row. The Cowboys have not beaten the Broncos since September 10th.
Look at
10th.
You.
I just looked it up.
Of what year?
Footballdatabase.com.
No, you just say you have that in your brain. What year?
Yeah, I had it in my brain. I want to be honest, but I did know that they hadn't beaten the Broncos since 1995, but September 10th of 1995, the Broncos have beaten the Cowboys ever since.
Are you serious? Is that real? That's a real stat?
That's a real stat. We beat them in 1998. I'm a part of the Broncos organization. They pay me.
Well, ever since you went to meet to training camp that one time.
In 2005, that hired me on the spot. They were like, this guy
gets it. He's who we want to represent our organization.
A part of the media, and he's wearing a Broncos hat. So clearly, we should hire him. But the Broncos have beaten the Cowboys 7 times in a row. One of them was overtime. I think once or twice on Thanksgiving. And it's great to see smug Cowboys fans like unhappy that they've come to Colorado, they've invaded Colorado, and they live here, and they get punished for it.
So the Cowboys, they start the season at Philly. That's the first game of the season, Thursday night special.
That's a loss for them.
Thursday night special. Picks are on Thursdays. Everybody knows that, unless they're on Fridays.
Can we just make the pick now?
No, we got to. No, because maybe Dak Prescott finds lightning in a bottle, man. Maybe. So we can't make it until Thursday, next Thursday.
I don't know.
But then they have the Giants, and then they're at Chicago, Green Bay, Jets, at New York Jets, at Carolina. They could have a decent record by the time they take on the Broncos, so it might look like it's going to be a pretty good matchup.
I mean, they'll definitely beat the Giants and the Jets.
Yeah, Giants and the Jets are going to be bad.
But there's no way they're beating the Red Comadres.
Who's that? Oh, okay.
I still call them the Redskins out of habit.
That's racism.
Like it took me forever to call the Oakland Raiders the Oakland Raiders after they moved to Oakland. Now it's the Las Vegas Raiders, and I'm still calling them the Oakland Raiders.
It's easier for me to call them the Las Vegas Raiders than it was the Los Angeles Raiders. Why is that?
I don't know. Well, I lived in L.A. for 11 years, and I was a Broncos fan there, so I was used to them being L.A. I moved, and then the year later, they moved. And the Chargers do not belong in L.A. Everybody in California knows it. They don't belong.
Do the Chargers have fans?
No.
They might after this year.
I think they just pay homeless people that are like, hey, free food. We got some hot dogs and some soda and free food for you, free underwear, free socks, and just come to the game and cheer. And then they have, every now and then, they'll pay that actor to show up and be like, oh, I love this team.
How's that?
Don't you remember there was allegedly that actress who was like a super Chargers fan, but
Was she a paid actress? Was that real?
Yeah, that was... I don't remember the full story, but she was allegedly a paid actress.
Well,
so I don't know who paid her, possibly the NFL for a story, but they don't actually have fans.
I like Denver at 6-2 after beating the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and I think the Cowboys are going to be miserable once again. Jerry Jones just needs to step down. And every Cowboys fan, the ones who are actually Cowboys fans, who were fans before 1992, and fake Cowboys fans have been saying, oh, he needs to step down. He does not know what he's doing.
Well, and wasn't there something in the Netflix series, too, about Jerry Jones saying something like, I want our team to be like this soap opera every year. We're giving our fans something to talk about all year long. Well, here's the Micah Parsons thing.
No, give him something to talk about.
Is that part of it?
Wins. Give him wins. That's something to talk about.
Well, without Micah Parsons, and after what we saw over the weekend, I can't imagine that's getting... I don't feel like it's getting done. A guy that's way more plugged into the NFL than I am, and that's Benjamin Albright, who we have on Fridays, talking Broncos primarily, but he's a pretty good... He has an interesting story. He's very deep into the NFL. He gets a lot of insight that a lot of us don't. He still thinks it's going to get done, and that maybe, you know, Jerry Jones ends up caving, and this whole thing was just to get more media attention. You got this documentary on Netflix coming out about the Cowboys, or is out about the Cowboys. I don't have Netflix, so I haven't watched it, but I've just seen clips.
I have Netflix.
You should watch it. I think it's probably really good. I mean, love the Cowboys, hate the Cowboys. They're entertaining. So
I'll watch it, but I still have a couple things I need to binge.
So the back half of the schedule gets a lot crazier for the Broncos. They've got, after Dallas, they're at Houston. They're home against the Raiders. It's yet to be determined what the Raiders are going to do. Kansas City, and then they have their bye. So are they going to run into some turbulence once we get into the month of November? And then after the bye, it's at Washington, at Las Vegas, home against Green Bay, home against Jacksonville, at Kansas City, home against the Chargers. At 6-2, the Broncos should be, we should be having those conversations. Could they take the division with those two Kansas City games still coming up? That there's going to be a big opportunity for them. So starting out the season, I've only got two losses for the Broncos, and that's home against at Los Angeles, Cincinnati. Was that a Freudian slip? That's the game I'm worried about my pick most of all. I do have the Broncos winning at home on Monday Night Football against the Bengals, but I went back and forth on that one. I have their two losses at Los Angeles Chargers and at Philadelphia. But so much of this depends on how that run game is working and how that connection with Bo Nix and Cortland Sutton is going. And is Evan Engram really that upgrade that you've been begging for at the tight end position? So at this stage, at the end of Sunday, October 26th, around 5 o'clock or so, I have the Broncos sitting pretty at 6-2, certainly looking like they're going to be back in the playoffs, certainly looking like they're going to be in the mix to take the AFC West. For the first time since 2015. Is it going to happen? How do you guys feel about my 6-2 prediction so far through eight games? Shoot me a text. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. 12:37 the time. Big Hub texting in. Sorry to interrupt the Broncos stuff, but why is RG3 talking about was it fair competition given to Shador like it was for Gabriel? Well, Gabriel didn't play in one game, and Shador didn't play in one game. I feel like they've both been given opportunities, but they picked one guy much earlier than him. That should be the dude that's given more of an opportunity than Shador Sanders, right? Gabriel was a third-round pick. Shador was a fifth-round pick. And I'm not so sure that they were all crazy in that front office about taking Shador in the fifth round. I think that there were certain guys in that room that wanted him and certain guys in that room that were like, stay away. Don't know for the life of me why you would invite this drama into your preseason, but they did. Leave it to the Cleveland Browns to do that. Also, Aaron says, I got to imagine the CFL is foaming at the mouth right now to see if Shador gets released. He's not going to go. He'll get picked up by somebody, won't he? I don't know who that somebody is, but at this stage, I mean, he's going to be a practice squad kind of guy, right? I'm not sure. But that story continues to just unravel. And this is why, for the life of me, I don't understand why you mess with that. You knew this was going to happen. If Shador looked amazing in the preseason, then it would be Joe Flacco. No, Shador Sanders. If he looked bad, which I think it's been a mixed bag for him. He didn't look great last game. The first game he played extremely well. But I don't know that he makes this team. 38 minutes after the hour. Mike, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Getting a lot of traction on the Lorado Whiskey Poll question of the day. Which team needs a week one more? Colorado State, Colorado, Wyoming, or Northern Colorado? 39% say Colorado State. Let me read some of the comments on that. Outlaws of CSU, how you doing, fellas? I don't know how it could be CSU. Washington is heavily favored. I don't know how it could be CSU. I look at a couple of things. Who needs a win to set the tone? What are your expectations? But also, who should win their game? Like, if you lose, are we talking sky is falling? The team that's last on this poll right now is 10% voting for Northern Colorado. If they don't beat Chadron State, Mike, where are the wins the rest of the way? I mean, this is at home for UNC. It feels like if you're going to get any kind of show any kind of progress this year, this is one of those that you have to take. Wyoming is right up there. I think if you lose to Akron, then again, I ask, where are the wins coming? No, again, teams can change. I felt like CSU got better last year. Also, the schedule got easier, too. So something's got to give there, and we're going to find out, you know, how much improved this Rams team is. They've had a lot of change, specifically on the defensive side of the ball, and I thought defensively was kind of a strength for this team. Freddie Banks haters will tell you no, it wasn't good enough. The offense was left on the sidelines too long, but as a fan of defense, like, I don't care how long a drive goes, if we can hold you to field goals or even missed field goals, then we're rolling. But the idea was that, well, the offense was on the field too long and we didn't get them into a real rhythm, and I don't know if I buy all the way into that. The RamU says CU needs a win more to keep fans from disappearing now that Hunter and Shador are gone. CSU will benefit more from a win on Saturday. See, I think Georgia Tech is a good team if they can stay healthy. That quarterback's good. He's really good. But as far as the team who needs to win more, and this is all, you know, within our local talk side of it. And again, we're not comparing divisions or conferences or anything like that. But you have CU saying they believe their goals are college football playoffs. Their goals are Big 12 championship. CSU, realistically, is their goal to win the Mountain West this year? Depends on who you talk to. I know our guy Kevin Lytle is going anywhere from six to eight wins, something like that. That's not winning the Mountain West, I don't believe. Wyoming is just trying to get better. I don't think they're talking about, I don't know, go Pokes. I don't think you guys are talking about winning the Mountain West realistically, are you? I laugh because you won three games last year. But then again, you can't lose to Akron. If you lose to Akron, then, like, we talked to Cody Tucker last week, and we'll talk to him again tomorrow. If you can't beat Akron early, is there that much room to get that much better against the more complicated part of your schedule coming up, which does include the Colorado Buffaloes? Aaron says UNC needs the week one win. I tend to agree. It's UNC. It's a D2 school you're going up against. If you lose to Chadron State, then I think that we maybe take a step back and go, is that just who this Bears football team's going to be? Is UNC going to be good at a lot of other sports, but they just don't have the real resources to be good in football? That will be the conversation surrounding the Bears if they lose to Chadron State this weekend. Texter here. That running back from on Georgia Tech squad went to your high school? Oh yeah, no, I've heard good things about him too. That he's a really big time talent. He had injury issues last season as well, so yeah. I mean, week one is already huge for all these teams trying to set the tone for a very important season. All of these teams that we cover have huge years on them. And I know you can say that realistically about everybody, but it is what it is. You have a UNC Bears team that has won one game in 2 years. This is the year you have to start showing some progress. Ed Lamb is very much into the belief of recruiting locally, and that will start to build. I don't need to see 6, 7, 8 wins from you this year. I need to see growth. And part of that would be you have to match your win total game one by taking down a Shadron State. But I suppose it just depends on where your expectations are. My expectations are not for CU to be in the playoffs, but to be at least a bowl team. CSU, my expectations, specifically for Jay Norvell, you probably need to minimum be at 8 wins. But I think some Rams fans are going to go deeper than that and say, no, we need to be in the Mountain West Conference Championship. Have you ever seen a week one with larger college football playoff implications? Oh, Texas and Ohio State. I mean, we got that game on KFKA this weekend. How about that, Mike? We got tons of things. We got Rocky Mountain College kickoff returning Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock live. And then we'll replay that with a couple of notes. Obviously, the Buffs game will have happened, but we'll be previewing that game. That will re-air every Saturday at 7 o'clock. So you'll get an opportunity there. There's just so many Friday games. We just could not go live Saturday, needed to be able to go live Friday. So we'll be able to recap what went down with Wyoming on Thursday, and hopefully for the Cowboys' sake, we're talking about a 1-0 start for all these local teams. 12:50 the time. Let's wrap up hour number one. We got buy or sell in the next hour. We're talking football. We are getting to it. We got our first Football Friday coming up on this Friday, Mike, and as everyone knows, picks are on Friday. Texts are wondering if they should put money on Wyoming. Picks are on Friday, but in this case, some picks will be on Thursday. We'll be right back.
What's happening in your community? Greeley, Loveland, and Fort Collins. Good morning, NOCO is on it. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I love it. First week of preparations for football, and our poll question is absolutely on fire. Got this text. Dion is making over $10 million per year, plus other benefits. If losing to Georgia Tech is a possibility, and the expectation is to barely make a bowl game, then they significantly overpaid him. That is why they need to win most, in my opinion. They're paying Nick Saban money for a head coach that is... They're paying Nick Saban money for a head coach that is picked to barely squeak into a bad bowl game. Well, I just think, again, you're replacing two of the bigger name college football players. I mean, I don't know that a team has felt so empty without two of their players in so long. Like, those guys meant the world to them, so there's got to be some grace there, right? Texter here says, if the Bears lose to Shadron State, can their spirits be revived? Ooh. Yeah, sure, it's a long season. Buy or sell coming up. What do you guys got for me? What do you have for buy or sell? It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.